and welcome to the Bait Search Podcast. As always, I am your host and Google Ads guide for the week. And it's a special week. Happy Thanksgiving to those that are celebrating it, to my fellow Americans. It's a great week. I am here as always. I don't take time off. I'm here. And many of you are still grinding through the week as normal. Hey, I'm here for you. We're going to go through Google Ads. We're going to make sure you stay on top of the game and make sure you keep getting more and more value out of your Google Ads campaigns. We're going to talk about a continuing series. This is episode number 3 of the Principles of Google Ads. Today, we are talking about pay-per-value. Pay-per-value is the discussion. I also have a question from Tom in Yorkshire, United Kingdom. And we're going to go through that, which is a great question for those of you that are hopeful freelancers, business owners of the in the future to have your own agency. We're going to go through some stuff around, you know, managing Google Ads accounts, you know, the life of a Google Ads manager. Has some questions there. Going to answer Tom's question. Good question. Help out people in the industry and go through what is pay-per-value. That's the main topic of the show for the week. You're going to like this one. This one is a core principle of Google Ads. Stick around for that. And I want to tell you about Optio.com because things might change. Guys, this is an important time. Black Friday comes around, right? After that, we get Christmas, we get New Year. And you know what happens whenever New Year's come along? Things change. Deals can disappear. And I want to warn you that this deal that I've been talking about with Optio may not last forever. So if you've been sitting just kind of thinking, oh, I'll try it out. First, I want to get this. I want to do this first. Now's the time because this offer could end. I've heard some rumors about, you know, it's, you know, maybe we need to strap in on this crazy deal they're offering. If you're not aware of the deal, it is a 2-month free trial of their amazing software. You don't have to pay for 2 months to try out this software. You're probably going to end up keeping it because it's amazing and everyone talks about how helpful it is, but you get to try it for free for 2 months. It's an online Google Ads management software designed for people that would be listening to a guy in his office just talking about Google Ads. You nerds out there need this tool. This is a tool designed by nerds for nerds of Google Ads. It does amazing things helping you with keyword research and word cloud kind of analysis of your search terms, click-through rate, changes to your conversion, bidding information, search impression share, negative keywords, match type suggestions, new campaign ideas. Guys, it's what you need looking over your shoulder to get more out of Google Ads. It's wonderful and I highly recommend it. I personally use it and it really helps me stay on the ball and make sure I don't miss anything. So try it out for free at optio.com/PSP. That's OPTEO.com/PSP while you still have the chance to try it for 2 months free. Okay, let's jump into it. As you know, for those that have been listening for a while, I changed the format of the show about a month ago, and we are now not going to be talking about metrics of the week. I am still going to be doing questions, and the question for this week comes from Yorkshire, UK. England, Tom is in England, and he has a question, and I sorely wish that I was good at impressions, accents, and I would read this in the best Yorkshire accent, but I can't. Instead, I just do it in my voice. Can't even like try because I'll just embarrass myself. So unfortunately, you just have to hear it without any kind of culture behind it. But let's assume that the way Tom says this is just charming and it sounds smart and it's just got that British kind of spin to it. You know, just love it. Tom says, "Hi, Chris. I'm looking at making a career change and moving into Google Ads management for an agency before, hopefully after a few years of experience going freelance. Okay? So Tom's at the beginning of a big change. I'm 2.5 months into my learning, and your podcast has been a massive source of education for me, and I'd like to thank you for the knowledge that you share. Oh, thanks, Tom. Glad to help out. My question is, what advice do you have for taking on a new account that has been previously managed by someone else or another agency? I imagine if an agency took me on, I would be given accounts that have some previous history. Yeah, you're right. What should I look for, or what should I do to ensure I don't get fired in the first month on the job, and how can I add value to these clients? I'll tell you what, Tom, you just made yourself a whole lot more appealing to people who want to hire because you're already asking, like, I want to add value. How can I make sure I add value and not deduct from the value of the agency? Great question. I'll tell you what, right mindset, first of all, that's great. But I have some answers for you. And, you know, for those of you who are wondering, the reason Tom is thinking about going with an agency and then going into freelance is really because you get a ton of experience in the agency world just by being exposed to a lot of different things, being exposed to a lot of different kind of management styles. You just see a wide variety of campaigns, clients, industries, and it's a good kind of fire hose way of just seeing a ton of stuff. That was what I did before I went full freelance for myself. I worked inside of a company as their Google Ads guy. Then I learned a lot there. Then I went to an agency and worked there for about a year, and then started my own company where I do stuff completely on my own here. I don't have an agency. I just have a me. It's just me. So I totally agree with this kind of progression. I think it's great. I think agencies are a good place for that. And they definitely are very aware of that. Many times they hire people who don't have a whole lot of experience and train them in their way of management, which is great. Works good for you, works good for them. So let's get to Tom's question. Tom, in order to make sure you don't screw everything up and get fired and just, you know, walk in and just cause havoc, here are 4 things that I would suggest. Number 1, stay humble and don't assume you know how to fix it, because you may have, you know, you listen to me, you watch some YouTube videos, you read some articles, you've done some things on your own, and you jump in and you see, ah, well, look at this. They're using broad keywords. Ah, well, I know that's a bad idea. I listened to Chris Schaefer, and he said broad keywords are bad. First of all, no, I did not say broad keywords are bad. They're not necessarily evil because there are broad keywords. There are plenty of good reasons to have broad keywords. Or you might say, oh, they're using this bidding strategy. Oh, that's a bad idea. I'm just going to change that. You know, stay humble and assume that there is some levels of success happening here. If a campaign's running for any significant amount of time, there's probably something that is driving success for that client. And they're not going to just spend money with absolutely no value at all. I mean, there is a point when an account will be shut off whenever it has not shown any kind of success or value. So assume there is some kind of value. Stay humble that you may not be able to see it right away and that you may not immediately be able to make changes. It's going to take some studying, okay? Know this, and this is a future principle that I will be getting to at some point in this series. You can't go back. If you change a campaign from max clicks to max conversions, you can't just go back. You say, yes, you can. You just change it back. Well, yeah, you can change it back, but it may not snap to where it was before. It may have been getting great results, and those results may be wiped from the face of the earth after you change it back. There's no going back. I'm going to talk more about that in a future episode from the Principle series here, but stay humble. That's number 1. Number 2, if there are new problems, if there are things that, you know, you've been presented an account and they're saying, yeah, they're, you know, we're afraid we're going to lose this account because, you know, they've been with us for 6 months and now all of a sudden they're getting no calls or something's changed. You know, if there are new problems, what you should look for are trends or shifts in the account. For example, changes in the search terms. you know, the tone of the search terms? Is it different the past 2 weeks compared to the previous 2 weeks? Is it different this month versus 2 months ago? The quality of the search terms. And we're going to get into quality and value, so be sure and listen to this episode because I'm going to define what that means. Have device type clicks changed? Are they getting a whole lot more mobile than they used to? They used to get a whole lot of computer. Has conversion tracking changed? Maybe suddenly they're getting phone calls from the ads instead of purchases. And you would have no idea unless you investigated the conversion types. Are they getting a whole lot of traffic from search partners and they weren't before? Have the match types changed? Are there new match types that are added to the account that are driving a whole lot more traffic than they were before? These are examples of shifts and trends and things that could have changed that cause new problems that weren't there before. So find those. Do some digging. Don't just change things. All right. So number three, go back to the core of what the client wants out of the campaign. When you're handed a campaign, you are getting secondhand information about what that manager was doing or what that other company was doing. You need to know, what is it that that client really wants out of the campaign? Is it hitting the goals that the client originally intended? Is the traffic quality originally what they intended? And I have an example for you here. I had an account that I supposed was doing very well according to the metrics. But after reviewing this account, it turned out that the conversions were phone calls and they sold an online product. And so this account had no conversions for the first, you know, year. And then about 3 months ago, they started getting conversions and they hired someone because they're like, something's changed. They brought me in. I look at it and I'm like, wow, you guys are getting 20% conversion rates. I mean, this is great. And then I ask, you know, like, well, wait, what's the original intent of this? It's like, well, we want to sell this course online. And I look and it's all phone calls. And I'm like, I'm so glad I asked because they don't care about the conversion that's currently happening. I need to go back and figure out what was the original intent? What was the value that they were getting a year ago that something changed and now it's just all phone calls and it's unqualified traffic? That's an example of, you know, going back to what the core need of the account is. And that's the kind of questions you need to ask if you're going to be managing an account for someone. Number four, small changes over time is what you need to focus on. Do not go in guns blazing. You are not Rambo. You are not who's a new hero. I don't know new heroes, what you kids like, but Rambo. You're not RoboCop? No, he's even older. You're not going to just come in guns blazing and be able to fix everything right away, okay? You need to make progressive small changes, understand every change you make has risk, everything you do has risk, and you will get overwhelmed, so make notes. When you make changes, make notes. Now, you may not need to say, change this bid from $1 to $150, you know, or, you know, added a new zip code to the targeting. That kind of stuff may not matter, but I'm talking about strategy changes. You know, what are you thinking about? Because as you're handed accounts in an agency, they may get more and more, you know, they'll pile more and more on you because they're going to want to get their money out of the work you're doing. And you'll get overwhelmed. You'll be like, oh, I got 15 accounts. I got 20 accounts. I got 50 accounts. And now, you know, if you don't make notes, if you don't keep track of this, you know, what changes you're looking at, what, you know, what your mind frame is about this one versus that one, you'll get overwhelmed. So make notes, small changes over time. Try not to hurt the campaign. Your focus is to improve it. Okay, so that is hopefully helpful for you, Tom. If you would like to send in your question, you can do so at paidsearchpodcast.com. You can send me an email. There is an email there on the screen. If you have a pen or a pencil and you can just write it down, it's just paidsearchpodcast@gmail.com. You can email me. I check that a couple times a week, and I usually reply if I'm going to answer your question on the show. I read all of them. So be sure and reach out if you do have a question. Now, I want to say also, I have been checking the reviews, and I've been seeing some people leaving reviews and 5-star reviews, and I really appreciate it. I just want to say, if you guys could keep that up, that is definitely useful. This account, this whole podcast has gone through a huge change in the past 6 months, and people are giving me tons of positive feedback. I really appreciate it, how they're liking the Principles series. I love that people are telling me they're learning things they never knew before, because I cover a lot of details in this podcast, and I'm trying to step back and discuss why those details are important. That's the whole purpose of this, and to know that this is providing information you never knew, that's wonderful. So I appreciate that. So leave a review, share if share on Twitter. I am on Twitter at Paid Search Pod. You can find me there. I am trying to be a little more attentive to social media, although I'm not much of a fan. And we're going to jump into the topical discussion. The topical discussion is principle of Google Ad number 3, pay per value. And I'm going to define what that is and talk about all the different types of value and why it's important that you pay per value. Before I do that, I want to remind you about optio.com/PSP. There's a chat box when you go to that URL that you can click, and you can tell them, hey, before you possibly pull this special away, before you yank this out of oblivion and never allow anyone to have this amazing offer, can I get it real quick? Chris said it's still valid. While it's still valid, grab your free 2 months of Optio.com. Many people have told me that is a great software. They immediately tell me, yeah, we love the podcast. And of course, we are Optio subscribers because it's great. It's a huge asset to us. So whether you're an agency, a freelancer, or you have just a couple clients on your own trying to become bigger, this is a great system that scales with you at a very affordable price. And for the first 2 months, it doesn't get more affordable than free. All right, let's go with pay per value. So the principle here on pay per value is that traffic has levels of quality. Not all traffic is equal. You should only pay up to the quality or the value of that traffic in which it is worth. I'm going to unpack that, but that's a pretty basic understanding that I think most people would get. You don't pay luxury prices for a cheap item. Why would you do that in Google Ads? Why would you pay luxury prices, luxury cost per click on a keyword that is junk? And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it absolutely happens. People pay hundreds, thousands of dollars for junk. I will describe what that is, how that looks, and I'll describe what the value system is. Let's go through it, and let's start with the definition of the least valuable. What is least valuable in Google Ads? What's an example of that? Well, I would say the least value in Google Ads is something I might call funnel adjacent. Okay? Funnel adjacent is people who are searching for A, and you offer them B. Okay, this is funnel adjacent. This is someone who wasn't necessarily looking for what you have. They were looking for something close to it, something that might be related, and you inject your ad and offer them something that's different than what they wanted. Example, dog groomers. Person's doing a search for dog groomers, but you offer them do-it-yourself grooming kits, dog grooming kits, right? A person's doing a search for dog groomers near me, and your ad is a new product you're launching, right? And you're trying to reach people that want to get a dog groomer to help them, and they have maybe a certain kind of dog, long hair. You've come up with this invention. You're selling this product, and you're offering them something different. This is an example of probably the least valuable traffic. And you would say, well, why, Chris? People might want my grooming product. Well, you're right. But they didn't ask for it yet. You have presented them with something that at this moment is not what they're looking for. Moments in Google Ads are what we sell for. We sell for that selling moment. We pitch when they're most interested in that moment. So, another example is people who are looking at a page or a video about weight loss, and you show them ads for gastric bypass. Obviously, weight loss is something that a person might be interested in, gastric bypass, but boy, that is quite a leap. That is quite a jump between one to the other. And the example here is that this can be done both on search and display, YouTube videos. I would put all these things together because the shared rule here is that people did not ask for this. If people are looking for dog groomers and you show them grooming kits, dog grooming kits, DIY grooming kits, they didn't ask for that. You're presenting them with something they didn't necessarily ask for. And the same thing happens with YouTube ads or with display ads that show on blogs and news sites and all kinds of places. Someone's checking the weather and you post in front of them a gastric bypass ad. Well, my goodness, you know, there's some reason that they've been served that ad based on their other searches and, you know, stuff like that. But that is a funnel adjacent kind of thing. Just because I've searched for overweight, weight loss kind of stuff, now I'm getting ads about this. That's funnel adjacent. That is a bit of a leap. And I would say it's probably the least valuable traffic. Not that it has no value, just that it has less. So you should pay less for it. You say, Chris, less than what? Well, less than where we're going to go from here. Every person's less is going to be relative to their industry. It's less than the next level, moderate value. So moderate value is what I would call high funnel. I'm going to pay per value. So the least value, I'm going to pay for that. The next step up might be what I would call high funnel. And this is moderate value. These are people who are in my funnel. They are looking for what it is I'm selling, offering, whatever. But they haven't traveled down that funnel yet. They're very high in the search funnel. I should not pay the same rate. To be very practical here, to say, how does this relate to Google Ads? It means you should not have the same keywords in your ad group if they are high funnel and low funnel. And I'm going to give examples. So this is the question to ask yourself as you listen to this. Do I have different levels of value in my ad groups? Do my keywords cross the value lines that Chris has established here? Funnel adjacent and high funnel. And then we're going to get into to other levels as well. But here's an example of high funnel. People that are looking for ways to clean their garage floor. There might be stains all over the garage floor. They want to know, you know, how can I get up oil stains? There might be searches like that. How to remove oil stains, or how to, you know, improve the value of my house. They might be looking up stuff like that. You know, they see that their garage looks pretty rough and they want to clean it up. You show an ad for garage floor epoxy services. Great. That is a person who probably is going to be interested in that because they can either scrub the floor or they can cover the floor. And there's other options. They could buy a mat that goes over the floor, you know, just buy some kind of product that goes over the floor that covers it, that they drive on top of. There's a lot of options here, but this is high funnel. This is a person who eventually might be getting down to that, but they certainly are not willing to commit the thousands of dollars that would be required for them to professionally epoxy coat their garage floor. So they're high funnel. They're not ready yet to move forward here. And you should pay a little bit more for this. So you have least valuable, funnel adjacent. Moderate value is high funnel. Now we move to the next one. Good value. You have moderate value. Now we're moving to good value. That's what I would call mid funnel. Mid funnel means they've moved past the high funnel. They're a little more relevant now, a little more closer to the kind of person that I think is going to be ready to make a purchase. So you pay for the value of the person based on the intent, on how likely they are to make a purchase. So now mid funnel sounds like people who search for things to do this weekend in Fort Worth, and you show them ads for rock climbing, gyms, or an escape room, or something like that, some activity event. That is someone who has searched for something to do. They do want what you have, right? The epoxy service, they didn't even know that existed. They just want a solution, and that is a solution. This specifically is a solution to what they're looking for. But there's a lot of things. They didn't really say that it was for kids. They didn't say something, you know, things to do for families. They didn't say things to do that were, you know, for a group. It could be a date. It could be for a family. It could be for an individual. A person could be looking for a bar, a movie, a restaurant. Who knows what it is that they're going to end up clicking on. This is one option. This is mid-funnel. Okay? Maybe a little bit more spend here. A slight amount of value improvement. So you pay for the value. So now the cost per click should be a little bit better here. All right, now we move down to the best value in Google Ads. And I think you know where we're headed. Best value is low funnel. Best value is low funnel. People, for example, that are ready to buy. They're looking for what you're selling and they're shopping. They're price shopping. They're trying to find the one that fits their need. And in reality, there's actually a micro step here. And I'm going to give you an example of a micro step between the two different levels of low funnel. Let's say low funnel number one is people who are searching for golf cart rental in Miami. Okay, that's low funnel number one. Low funnel number two, people searching for 8-person golf cart rental in Diana Beach, which is in Miami. The second one, people looking for an 8-person golf cart rental, there is significantly more value there. Because golf cart rental is more generic than 8-person golf cart rental, 8-seat golf cart rental in this specific beach. Now you're talking. Now Miami is significantly bigger. Golf carts is significantly more broad than an 8-person golf cart rental in Diana Beach. Or Dania Beach. I don't know. I've never been there. I just looked it up so I'd have a good example. Okay, so that's an example of a micro step. There's actually one little tiny step you could go down a little further. You could wade all the way in. Now, here's another example. Here's a low funnel search. People that have solid value for you. People searching for glass repair in Houston. Glass repair. That could be car. It could be home, could be a lot of things. Now, how do you step deeper into that low funnel? How do you go to the bestest value? People searching for storefront window repair in Midtown Houston. Whew. I mean, that's commercial. That's storefront window repair in a specific part of Houston, right? This is different. This is more value. and you ask, well, Chris, okay, well, how do I get all the way in? How do I make sure I get more of that? Well, the fact is, you cannot get all the way in to low funnel until you start wading through adjacent, high, mid to low. A successful campaign will sample all of these. You will not be able to successfully find a list of perfect, definitive, low funnel, best quality traffic just off the top of your head. There is no research tool that will give you what those are. Stop paying for keyword research that promises get your best keywords. You know, you need to have hundreds of keywords, and you can, these are all long tail, low funnel, highly qualified keywords. You can't get that information because you don't know. Real information like this, real solid converting words like this, come from sampling each level and trying each level. A healthy campaign will balance the value between all of these areas. And since it is Thanksgiving, I think it's a perfect analogy to share that we're all feeling a little heavy, right? Feeling a little heavy after Thanksgiving. You're thinking about, I need to eat better. Well, I got news for you. You can't just eat protein. You can't just eat straight protein. And you also just can't eat candy. A good balance of a Google Ads campaign is much like the way that you wish you would start eating when you get back to work on Monday. You need a balance between all of these. You need a balance between some high funnel, some mid, and some low. The difference is that you don't pay low funnel prices for high funnel keywords. You make sure you itemize the traffic. You put the value of the money that you are spending on the keywords that matter most. So you make sure, as I said, principle number one. If you don't know what principle number one is, go back and listen to that episode again. Each of these episodes tie into each other and they build upon each other. As principle number one says, your relevancy is most important. So if someone's looking for this, you make sure you serve them ads that state this. So if you're selling something at a high funnel, you make sure you propose information, your ad copy, your bids, all are designed for high funnel consumption of the traffic. Mid funnel, low funnel. Don't make the mistake of washing all this together and just assume that Google will figure it out. I'll just throw it all into an ad group, do max clicks, and Google will figure it out. It won't work. It won't work. And don't assume that you can just eat candy and get healthier. You can't just eat high funnel and expect solid results. So thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. If you have enjoyed what I've laid out here, be sure and subscribe. I'm also on YouTube. You can always click the link if you're listening on audio to go and watch the YouTube video. You can subscribe there, leave a comment. If you'd like to engage with me, you can find me at chrisschaefer.com. I offer Google Ads management and consulting services for big and small companies, B2B, B2C, e-commerce, all that stuff. I appreciate positive reviews for the podcast wherever you're listening. And of course, don't forget our sponsor, Optio.com. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving. I will catch you next week.